By the way, if you don't feel like he's close, he wasn't the one that moved. He's everywhere, so if he doesn't feel real close, maybe we need to be a little more sensitive to him. But that one little line there, it says, reprove me, then embrace me again. And, you know, when God chastens whom he loves, and he does, and sometimes you feel like he's whooped up on you, listen, don't let that turn your back on him. He has not forgotten you. As a father who loves his children, he chastens whom he loves. But the point is to bring us back to restoration. By the way, if that's the way God is supposed to do it, that's how we're supposed to do it when we're raising kids. It's okay to reprove them in love. Do the job. That's why spanking works with little ones. Because you kind of, and they cry and it's all done. You love them, go on and forget about it. Go on. It's done. Don't give them the silent treatment for 3 or 4 weeks or something. No, I'm serious, because they're going to think you don't love them. Do the job. Tell them what's wrong, and it's all over. And we start, his mercies are new every morning. So your mercies should be new every morning. Every morning. That's free. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. You pray for Miss Betty Fadley. Her daughter passed away somewhat unexpectedly. This week she had a lot of health issues, and it was, as far as we know, everything was of natural causes, but it was a little early and so forth, so it kind of sudden. So you pray for her. I know she would appreciate that, Miss Betty Fadley. Her daughter was named Deborah Christine, or Christine, I think is the way she pronounced it. So you pray for her. I know she would appreciate that. John chapter 13, and I'm going to read several verses. Kind of hang tight with me. John chapter 13, verse number 1, says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." This verse, this passage comes into history here. Jesus has had his ministry 3.5 years on earth. Many things have happened, and he had told him that he would be going to Jerusalem. They would abuse him. They would crucify him. And on the third day, he would rise again. Of course, they didn't want it to happen, but he said, "That's why I've come." He said, "What am I going to do? Ask that this hour pass?" No, he said, "This is why I've come." And so what we have here is the night before the crucifixion. This is the beginning of the Last Supper, if you will. So let me begin one more time, verse 1. And let's keep reading this time. "So before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own," for the last 3.5 years, for all this time, "having loved his own, which were in the world," he didn't stop now because things were getting rough for him. Love doesn't stop when things get rough. God's love, so I can't do that. You're right, but God's love can and can do it through you. "Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God," he went to God, knowing. Okay, Jesus lived on this earth. He was fully God, but he lived on this earth as fully man as well, with all in all ways tempted such as we, except without sin. So he's facing this time. He's facing the crucifixion, knew what was going to happen, and how was he going to face it? He was facing it by faith. He knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. How do you work the day through? How do you face tomorrow? Because we know who put us here on the earth. We know who saved our soul. And we know where we're going. You face life because you know by faith what his promises are. Verse 4. "He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into the basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Whose dirt was on his towel? The disciples' dirt. And where was the towel? On him. He says, I'm going to bear. He says, I've got crucifixion tomorrow. I've got a big day tomorrow. I shouldn't have to be doing this. No. He says, I'm going to take their dirt on me. I'm going to love them to the end. Verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and saith unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you're clean. But not all. Now, I'm not saying you're not all clean. It says not all of you are clean. Verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Skip down to verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned unto him that he should ask who should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Skip down to verse 31, if you will. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Now, this is not my message, but I want you to think about this. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do. And what Judas was going to do was going to cause great pain to him. He was betraying him, even though Jesus had cared for Judas for the last 3.5 years. And yet he said, All right, now everybody gets to see who God is. When someone turns their back on you, that's the time we get to see who God is, by how you handle the situation. Do you give it to the Lord? And when they get to see God through us, and thus they see who God is. Verse 32, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. There again, there's where the God is glorified. Love one another. Yeah, but we know all each other's faults. The disciples, we know each other's faults. Then we know real love is going to show up if it's of God. By this, verse 35, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. You've been learning of me if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? He just jumped right over the love part there, didn't he? He went back to this other thing. Well, Jesus, leave him. Whither thou goest, Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let's have a word of prayer. I got three simple points this morning. And we'll talk about this. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, a love that passes knowledge, an everlasting love. And Lord, even when you reprove us, even when you take us through some times, Lord, if we would take the reproof quickly, it could be that you would embrace us again and we can move on. Lord, help us understand your love a little better. Help us to exercise your love a little better. Lord, just thank you for loving us. Every single one. There's not one person in this world you don't love. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us understand your love a little better here this morning. Lord, if there be one here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that today be the day of their salvation. May you use this time, we ask for your Holy Spirit, and we give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. You don't need to turn to it, but I want to just quote to you just a couple other verses. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God, creator of all the universe, so loved. A great level of love. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 4:10 tells us this, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the one to make amends for us. 1 John 2:2 tells us, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I have a simple thought this morning, and I simply want to lift up our Savior here for a few moments. It was an unspeakable gift that he gave us. But it was more than the gift that I want to remind you here what was in him to be willing to give us that gift. First thing I want you to see is Jesus knows the cost of loving us. He's God. You know all those little things that you did as a kid? There was times you felt like you were in trouble all the time. God loved you through all those things. He didn't like it all, but he loved you. Maybe you're in a spot in life right now where you feel like you're in trouble all the time. God loves you. I want to show you an example here out of our passage. God, watch, God knows the cost of loving us, and yet he loves us. That's the kicker. He knows the cost, and yet he loves us. Matthew 20, verse 17 says, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, now listen to me, Matthew 20, 18 says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And then they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him, and on the third day, he shall rise again. That brings us to the first verse of our passage in John 13. Now, therefore, thou before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew the hour had come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He was going to depart from this world, but this was not going to be an easy departure. Not an easy trip. I've been with several folks when they passed on from this world to the next. Watched them take the first of their last breath. It's a wonderful thing, the death of the saints, when they go in peace like they can. They just kind of smile, take their breath. Beautiful thing. But do you know why we get to take that trip so easily? Because Jesus took the trip that we were supposed to take. This was not a situation where he would simply slip away in his sleep. If Jesus could have simply fast forwarded to the ascension, just gone, he says, I go to my Father, I'm going to depart. Would be a whole lot easier. Just go ahead and go. But if he had just gone to the ascension, the victory part, it would have never accomplished what he needed to accomplish because he was going to love us to the end. Well, he loved them for 3.5 years. Isn't that enough? That's not what he came for. He came for the hour when he would love us to the end. Jesus would not ascend to the throne and receive his crown and sit at the right hand of the Father without first going to the cross. Jesus was well aware of what was ahead of him, and he knew that he would fully experience. He knew as God, as man, he was going to experience it, but as God, he knew what every moment of anguish would be like. And what that night would bring his way. And yet he loved them until the end. So great of a love. And we can turn on somebody because they stepped on our toes and scuffed the end of our shoes. Because they forgot to say hi. Because we came up a little short-changed. Jesus knew full well what that death would entail. This is probably my longest point, but I want you to think about this. He would be left alone in the garden. Wait a minute, we started this with the verse here, he loved them unto the end. He knew that they were going to go to the garden and they were going to leave him alone. He was going to ask them to pray with him. They didn't have time to pray, they slept. He was going to be kissed by the betrayer. He was arrested by his own people, the ones he came to save. He went to them, he told them he was Jesus that they were looking for. And they rejected him. And yet he loved them unto the end. He was beaten by the leaders who knew best of his coming. In the high priest's office, Annas and Caiaphas. He was denied by one of the inner circle. Peter had walked with him. Peter had been at the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter had seen him raise people from the dead. Peter had seen him feed 5,000 and 4,000 plus. Peter had walked with him, and Peter turned his back on him. But he loved him till the end. He was given over to the Romans to be crucified. falsely accused by the Jews, taunted by Pilate. Truth. What is truth? Look, your own people have condemned you to death. He was scorned to the amusement of King Herod. Turned back over to Pilate, scourged with a cat of nine tails. The normal process was 39 lashes times nine tails. Whipped within an inch of his life. Mocked as the king. They took off his own robe and put this scarlet robe on him. And then once the blood dried after the lashes, they rip it off. Knowing his hour was come. Knowing from whence he had come and where he was going, he loved them unto the end. He was crowned with thorns. When the people were offered a choice, he was traded away for a murderer and insurrectionist. They stripped off his clothes, forced him to carry his cross. And upon arrival on Mount Calvary, that flayed back of his was laid on a rough old cross full of splinters, which he would have to slide up and down on to get a breath. They nailed him to the cross. The cross went up. And he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He loved them till the end. He was mocked by the people he was dying for. He was ridiculed by a thief. And yet took the time when one called out for salvation. He gave it freely. He loved them until the end. Sky got dark about 3 o'clock, and the earth shook. And he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The Lord had laid on him the sin and the guilt of all of us, and it was placed on his head. And he loved us until the end. He had been separated from his Father, which he had never felt before. There's a distance that we sometimes sense between God and ourselves, but they were one. He was as real and as precious as if he walked inside of him, because he did. Which, by the way, we can have. Few moments, he cried out, "It is finished." And he died alone. Knowing that his hour had come, he loved them to the end. Knowing all that was set before him, knowing the cost, he loved us. He loved us. That wasn't just for the people who lived 2,000 years ago. That wasn't just for the great prophets and great preachers who've lived and have since. God so loved the world, and you're part of it.
He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We so joyfully sing the song, Such Love. But the second verse says that Christ should join so freely in the scheme, although it meant his death on Calvary. Did ever human tongue find nobler theme than love divine that ransomed me? God knows, God loves, and Jesus being God knew what the cost would be of loving us. And yet he loved us. Number two. Not only did he know the cost of loving us, yet he loved us, but he knows us, and yet he loved us. He knows us. He knows our sin, and yet he loves us. Judas had been with him for 3 years, and yet he had never received him. John 13:2 says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Look at verse 11. "For he knew," Jesus knew, "who should betray him. Therefore said ye are not all clean." Now look at verse 17. "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." Verse 21, "When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Jesus washed the feet of Judas. But washing the feet of Judas didn't cleanse his heart. At the moment, it might have even hardened his heart. The filthy lucre had already bound itself in his hand. He knew what was there. He knew what he was doing. And yet Jesus loved him. When Judas meets him in the garden and gives him that infamous kiss, he says, "Do you betray?" He says, "Friend, dost thou betray me with a kiss?" He loved Judas. See, well, he wasn't chosen. Wait a minute. You know how we're chosen? He invites. You say, "I want it." He says, "Okay, you're a good one." How many here would like to have a dish of ice cream? Okay, here we go. How many here would like to have salvation for all eternity? All right, come on. Because whosoever will may come. Peter was a believer. Now we give Peter a hard time. But we've all been a Peter from some time or another. Opened our mouth and a bunch of stuff came out we wish we could grab and bring back. Verse 36 says, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? And Jesus answered, said, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus saith, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the clock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Now wait a minute. There are some folks in here who have not yet received Christ as your Savior. Very well may be in a room this big. And he loves you. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He's already died and paid for all your sin. He cares for you. He's the propitiation for not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He loves you. He loves you so much that even though he knew what was going to happen when the hour came, he went through with it. But wait a minute, there's some folks in here who are saved. Have you done something you feel like God can't forgive you for? Well, too late. He already forgave you on the sins of your sins on the cross that next day. He already paid for them. They're done. They're done. Listen, Jesus washed the feet of Jesus washed the feet of Peter that night, knowing that Peter was going to deny him that night. In his darkest hour, he was going to deny him. He says, "Let me wash you, Peter." She'll get used to my yelling. At least her ears work, huh? In his darkest hour, Peter denied, ran away, and yet Jesus loved. Jesus loves us, knowing what it costs. By the way, he knows what it's going to cost for him to love us tomorrow when we do something stupid. Remember the time, you don't get in there, I've probably been all of us. Remember the time or the times when you wanted to speak up for Jesus. You wanted to tell somebody about your salvation. You wanted to encourage them to get saved. And you said nothing because you thought they'd look at you a little strange. Because they might think you're one of those. And you didn't. Didn't say a word. You just smiled and nodded and moved on. During that time, Jesus loved you. His love does not depend on us. His love depends on who he is. And God is love. God loved us knowing the cost. God loves us, knowing us. Now, here's the last one. It's very simple. I told you it's very simple. Ready? Let Jesus love you. Let Jesus love you. Look at verse 6. John 13, 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? You know what he's saying? I mean, you shouldn't do that. I'll be just fine the way I am. I'll be just fine the way I am. You don't need to do that, God. I mean, you're God. You don't need to do that. Well, he's God. He's the only one that can do that. Well, I'm good enough. It'd be okay. You know, I'm not gonna submit you to that, or I'm not gonna make, you know, I'm not gonna let you do that. I certainly wouldn't. I'd look bad having you do that for me. Jesus, verse 7 says unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Watch. You don't know what all the washing means. You need to be washed. He said, you have no idea all that entails. You don't realize right now what difference it's going to make down the road. He says, you better let me wash you. You better let me love you. Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Have you let Jesus wash you? Have you allowed him to love you with an everlasting love? Because you say, well, you know, I won't make him do that. I'm going to hang on to him. No, you can't hang on to him. Unless he washes you, you have no part with him. We're dirty. And the only one who can clean us up is Jesus. Only Jesus. He's the only perfect sacrifice. If that was the case, then why did he bother to come to die? But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, not die, not be separated from him, but have everlasting life. You know, it may seem noble to stop Jesus from loving and serving us in this way, but it's why he came. Ladies, it's kind of like spending 3 days for the big Thanksgiving dinner and putting it all on the table with all the fixings. And there's the turkey, and there's the dressing, and then there's the mashed potatoes and the gravy, and then there's the cranberry sauce. And then if you go, now I knew a lady who was Italian, and she would have a whole Italian meal going along with it. But anyway, it's all there. The pumpkin pie is waiting. I'm preaching now, aren't I? Pumpkin pie is waiting. We sit down at the table, and the family says, oh, it's too pretty. We're not going to eat it. It'd be a shame to eat it. It just looks too nice. You say, what? I worked 3 days. Eat the stuff. In fact, what happens, you sit down and you eat and you eat and you eat and you eat, and then she puts it in baggies and Tupperware and tells you to take it home with you. That's what God says. I've prepared the table. I spent the time, the energy, the sacrifice to give it to you. Come. Eat. This is my body, broken for you. This, take the cup. This is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for you and for many for the remission of sin. Eat ye all of it. And when you've done that, there's a whole lot more where that came from that you get to take with you. He loves us, knowing the cost. He loves us, knowing us. And we simply need to let him love us. Jesus knows the cost of loving us. It costs him pain in his heart every day. It costs him pain in his heart every day to love us, because we make light of his love so frequently by being so quick to sin against his love for us. He knows exactly what we are, and yet he loves us. And Jesus even waits on us, hoping that we will allow him to love us. He continues to wait and wait all along, loving us. Even with all that, having loved us which are in the world, he loves us unto the end. Jeremiah 31:3 says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. We think we're breaking his heart by admitting our sins so we can be saved. It will break his heart even more if you don't allow him to save you. Will you let Jesus love you? If you don't let Jesus love you, then he has no choice but to lose you. He loves us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, your greatness, your wondrous love. Love that goes beyond all understanding, goes beyond knowledge. Help us understand your love. And do your work, your Holy Spirit. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.